Welcome to Our Thoughts Tonight. Join us as we chat in a mellow mood about music, philosophy, psychology, and anything else that will come to mind. Enjoy.
We are here on Our Thoughts Tonight, and it is a very special Zoom episode. And Ashok is here.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Ron DeSantis.
Oh, God. You know, surprisingly, I didn't think he did as bad this time around as last time. But Ron DeSantis, give me your debate analysis for fucking the whole United States. Yeah.
I would say there were no winners.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. There were a few that, like, maybe you can make an argument. But, like last time, well, before we get into it, obviously, this is our second debate analysis of the Republican primary, which to say, a.k.a. is basically who's in the Trump wins, and that's not even really accurate either. I don't think there were any winners either. I think the last one, there were like some people you could say were winners, but not this one. I don't think so at all. They all seemed so bad.
Yeah, they're definitely. It was all kind of like a shit show for sure. And it really seemed like the true losers were the American people, as I told you earlier. That was my feeling. Like, where are we in society where this is, where we are in society, I guess.
I definitely think, what's it called? I think Vivek did terrible this time around. I mean, he was dogpiled the first debate. This one, he was dogpiled even more. I don't think he had, like, the showmanship as the last one. I feel like I mean it seemed like he kind of toned it down this debate a little bit, which has invited more dogpile on him. So I don't think he did well. Like in the last one, he there was a argument for him, but I don't know, like Tim Scott for some reason was talking way more than he really should have. Like, that this was an entire debate with people with polls. Like, I've never seen a debate like that or heard of a debate like that where no one's even in the conversation, really. It's just Trump.
No, it's just like, shouting.
It's just shouting. Why? Like,
and the funny thing is, I have a theory as to why that's the case, but Tim Scott's just mediocre.
Yeah.
As a whole. I think a lot of these guys, they watched the last one. They like got their analytics and they probably had all sorts of, polling done on what people thought about, whatever it is that was occurring. Uh-huh. And what ended up happening was that it showed that when they said this thing, that the crowd liked it more. When they said that, the crowd liked it more. So they probably generated like canned responses or something similar to those last responses. And that just never turns out well, because a lot of the times that's like a lightning in a bottle situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. I think the only caveat to that was, so Chris Christie is obviously super anti-Trump, and he said it like every 5 seconds, but in the beginning, so did on a side point, but still the same point, DeSantis agreed with Christie and like also like piled on Trump a little bit, which is surprising because in the first debate, everyone booed Christie for going against Trump. So it was actually nice to see DeSantis, I suppose, go against Trump. Speaking of which, I don't know if you noticed, but there were two times where people straight up just copied Chris Christie. Like Chris Christie said, you know who should be here? Who's not? Trump. And then like a second later, DeSantis said the same line, because I'm sure he had it written down or something or whatever. He just literally copied what he said. It was kind of awkward. And then later, the whole sleeping with the wife thing that Chris Christie said about Joe Biden. And then Pence said that with his wife. And it was like, why are you guys just copying his lines? Like, I know it's kind of supposed to be a joke, but it was just like he's right there. Just like, he just said a line. You guys are just copying him.
It was awkward for sure. There was so many awkward moments because they were all trying to be performing.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's usually the case, but they were really making it obvious this time around.
Yeah.
And
what's it called?
Should we pull up some clips or should we just keep talking?
I'm okay with some cliffs. I was just gonna say the part with the with Pence's wife. Yeah, well, that was probably the most exciting part of the debate, was just Pence admitting he's had sex.
Oh yeah, is, yeah, it was something yeah. about I've been sleeping with a teacher or something for XYZ. Yeah. Yeah.
Awkward. I was gonna say you should. I will say, as for like quote unquote winners, I guess you could kind of. I mean, I think it's kind of the same as last time, where I think Nikki Haley, I mean, I don't know. I think Nikki Haley and Chris Christie were like better, I suppose. Like Haley was like pretty good the first debate. I wouldn't say good, but you know, pretty good the first debate. And then this one, she just kept getting into arguments with people. And then Chris Christie again was like cool because he's anti-Trump, but it's like, he made those like that lame ass like Donald Duck joke, which is like cringe.
Yeah, that really was lame ass.
Yeah,
it was weak, man.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And the buildup was good. I was like getting excited. Like, oh man, he's going good. And then he just said Donald Duck. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what in the world was he thinking there? That was really not good.
Yeah, it was bad. I think I will say that I was just weird because I mean usually I would say this is a good thing, but this was very policy focused for a Republican debate, I feel like.
Yeah, but it was all stuff like, they agreed on for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, just the mere fact that they're like talking about something more specific, you know, like I think that's good. I should pull up if there's a clip of Pence and his wife, maybe.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
Pence. Sick bastard. I don't even know what
comments are there.
Look, I do disagree with something Tim Scott just said. Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line. As president of the United States, I'll be standing with workers all across America, and I'll be standing for the right to work of every American to join a union or not join a union as they decide.
I'm noticing a lot of anti-union rhetoric, obviously, because yeah. it's the Republicans, yeah. but so much yeah. for being like the working man's party yeah. or whatever the hell they're claiming themselves to be these days.
Yeah, no, this debate was way worse than the first one for anti-union stuff. Yeah, I feel like that was, yeah, it was pretty bad. That and China were like the main two themes of this debate, I would say.
Of course.
And like, yeah, I mean, it's always China.
Yeah. Xenophobia and like yeah. fear of collectivism.
Yeah.
The government shuts yeah. down.
I like how populist. I don't know if you noticed, but like throughout the entire debate, they would, I mean, none of them answered questions, obviously, but they would always pivot to the border or China. Like,
talking points.
The first question asked was about, like, you know, the protests or whatever. And I think it was Tim Scott. He just immediately pivoted to the border. And, like, and I think Doug Burgum, his North Dakotan ass, was like, they never answered questions, talked about China or his state that no one cares about. It was just really annoying. Like, they yeah. would just pivot hard to things that they weren't even supposed to talk about.
Republicans?
Voters should blame everybody who's in Washington, D.C.
Where's Joe Biden? He's completely missing in action from leadership. And you know who else is missing in action? Donald Trump is missing in action. He should be on this stage tonight. He owes it to you to defend his record, where they added $7.8 trillion to the debt. And I want to look.
He's not wrong.
No.
You know, I mean, it's a very basic talking point, but he's not wrong.
No, he's right. I'm just pissed about, like, again, Chris Christie just said it.
Yeah, right before.
And then he says it and it gets applause. It's like, you were the one. He said it like this. He used the same words too, which is really fucking funny. It's like, I don't know. Yeah, they're right though.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, just go for it. You don't need the fucking statistics being, or like, you know, the canned responses. Just. If they would think like, oh, you know, if I'm naturally reactive to the things these people are saying, I will probably be better at the debate naturally. But they can't think that far because they're, you know, they're thinking too hard about that's being how, liked.
Yeah, that's how I mean, that's how Trump does it. And that's how even Chris Christie does it to a certain extent, not entirely, but.
Chris Christie does seem the most natural out of everyone there.
Yeah, that's how they win debates and stuff. Yeah.
All right.
Again, he was the Trump before Trump, really, at least in terms of like debates. Yeah.
I saw that photo of him today where I saw that photo of him where he's, I wish I could pull it up, but
is it
where he like is wearing a belt and he's wearing these like cargo shorts and they're just like riding up to his neck practically. This is great.
I mean
he's kind of lovable. I gotta give it to him. Yeah. I hate all these guys.
Yeah.
But he is kind of lovable. You're a big Chris Christie fan.
Yeah. I mean, he's corrupt too. And he left his position in New Jersey. I think the most hated politician at the time, I think something like that, by his like constituents or whatever.
Not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
You have said.
Oh, man, that is so bad. And also, he's totally just trying to get a job at CNN. No. It's so clear.
God damn it, man.
Trying to extend some media contracts.
Speaking of post-election stuff, I don't know. I mean, that's possible, too. I was just thinking, you know, in the scenario that Trump wins, which I don't know how likely it is, it's definitely, you know, it's possible. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm inclined to think that he'd be part of the new cabinet or some sort of position. Or if even if that didn't happen, he would still support Trump, I feel like, if he became president. Like, I don't know how much of a backbone Christie has.
You're talking about the Saudi stuff, right? Or I mean, the Kushner stuff.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's why he wasn't in the administration in the first place with Kushner. But he's, I mean, he still supported Trump at the beginning. So I feel like if Trump were to win again, I mean, I feel like Chris Christie would still support Trump. Like, he's just going after him now because Trump's quote unquote vulnerable. Yeah, I don't know. He's an opportunist, just like the you know, all of them.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we keep going?
Yeah.
Slaves develop skills in spite of slavery, not because of it. But many are still hurt. For descendants of slaves, this is personal. What is your message to them?
So first of all, that's a hoax that was perpetrated by Kamala Harris. We are not going to be doing that. Second of all, that was written by descendants of slaves. These are great Black history scholars, so we need to stop playing these games.
There is not.
I don't know the details of this, but I've heard of it, and I can't. I'm sure it's something like this is very likely to actually happen. I don't know how he's covering for himself there.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't think it was a conspiracy. Also him, I mean, didn't he just contradict himself? He said that was a hoax by Kamala Harris. And then he said,
yeah. And then he said, but these people wrote this. Yeah.
Must be right or something.
Yeah. It's like an immediate contradiction, which is already, what the hell?
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Maybe he has some explanation for it and he's just trying to fit it in, but it sounds sketchy.
Yeah. 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 Plus what he said, it's still bad with like descendants of slaves wrote this, like, oh, you know, like somehow that makes it like valid.
Right.
Yeah. It's insane. And Tim Scott's response. Oh my God. Yeah. We should listen to this.
These are great Black history scholars, so we need to stop playing these games.
There is not a redeeming quality in slavery. He and Kamala should have just taken the one sentence out.
I have a radical idea for the Republican Party. We need to win elections. And part
Wait,
of how
could you
we
pause
win
for
elections
a
is...
I don't know if it was cutting off from my end or from the video, but, you know, Tim Scott, you know, countered DeSantis's, you know, he was like, oh, he should have taken it out or whatever. But, in the debate, he goes on to say that, you know, Black families survived slavery, survived Jim Crow and all that stuff. But what they couldn't survive was the Great Society, which was like, he just literally compared that to slavery and said it was worse, essentially. Like,
what is that?
I think it was, it's basically like welfare programs, I think, that were set up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he compares that to like, again, to slavery, and to say, like, that's what screwed up African-Americans was welfare, not slavery. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. How do you even convince? How are you supposed to convince somebody of that? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, that is some really twisted logic. Like, yeah, the thing that helps people who, you know, have been are in a hard position, somehow you're trying to convince, and it works too. That like rhetoric works on so many people. That it more so works on people that are like white voters, not some, I would assume, I don't know any statistics, but they hear that and they're like, they're giving our money away or whatever to people who aren't working as hard, is what their rhetoric ends up being.
Yeah, it's just racist. It's pretty bad.
Definitely.
Is reaching the next generation of young Americans where they are. So when I get into office, I've been very clear. Kids under the age of 16 should not be.
Vivek's hair is so tall. I don't know if you noticed that. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, it's hard last time.
Be using addictive social media.
This is infuriating because TikTok is one of the most dangerous social media apps that we could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say. You've gone and you've gone China, built, make medicines in China, not America. You're now wanting kids to go and get on the social media that's dangerous for all of us.
You know, if you were to ask these people why they think social media is dangerous, they would have the worst reasons for why, not the reasons that are actually legitimate, like it causes body dysmorphia or psychological contrast effects that are harmful. They say it's probably because, you know, because they think China's siphoning information or whatever the hell it is.
That's the thing, is like, I don't think I would support anything like banning social media for people under 16, but like, yeah, I mean, I get the sentiment of like social media, but yeah, you're right. They're not going into it with the right reasons.
They don't really care. No, it's feigning populism.
Sorry, you cut out like major there. I didn't hear. What'd you say?
I said they're feigning populism as if they're populists, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say, surprisingly support Vivek's like, at least attempt, you know, to like go out to young people, like, yeah, you should probably do that. Which I just, from a purely strategical point, that's obviously what you should do. And then, but it's still, I still find it hypocritical. Like, in his mind, TikTok is, you know, Chinese, whatever. Like, if we're be convinced of that narrative, you know, his history and his like action with TikTok or whatever is hypocritical in his own mind, or at least should be hypocritical. So, I don't know. And then Nikki Haley saying, you know, dumber was like amazing. Even though it's like the wrong time to be making that statement, she was like, it's totally true. Like, anytime Vivek talks, it's like he's just, I don't know, like rotting your brain.
Totally. And, you know, if you listen to what they say and the points they're making, these aren't things they actually believe for the most. Maybe they believe them like with a grain of salt. But this is what they think regular people actually think. So this, if you look at how caricaturized it is, this is how they view regular people as like just, you know, vacant and unable to really understand their own or unable to think for themselves, or you know, just stupid, mindless, large masses of people that they can, you know, just say these basic right-wing talking points and get them to believe them. And they can, for a lot of people, like they can get them on their side. Yeah. But at the same time, a lot of people can see through this stuff.
I think that's to an extent true. I would just say that, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to. I think there is like a significant base in the, you know, Republican base that just eats this stuff up. And it's not like, I don't know how to word it. Like, for example, if Vivek, you know, or whoever were to say, like, I like Trump, then I feel for it. Even if they sound like a standard politician, like, oh, he said he likes Trump, then I trust any word that he says, even though he seems to be bullshitting. Like, I feel like beyond reason and beyond even like normal superiority or whatever, I think a lot of this stuff is tied to just how loyal these guys are to Trump. Like,
yeah, totally.
Or how, like, yeah, it's like, I imagine a Republican seeing this debate and their opinion being completely, you know, shaped or morphed by these guys' relations to Trump. Almost nothing with what they are actually saying. I mean, maybe not for all of them, but I think a significant portion at least.
$1 million? We can't trust you.
Polls don't elect presidents. Voters elect presidents. Right. And we're going to take the case of the people in these early states. We're going to do it in a state-by-state direction. And why? Because as Reagan said in his day, this...
I will say this. I liked where they debated. I liked the... it was, you know, the nice window in the background. It was kind of like refreshing for a debate stage, the Reagan Center, whatever the hell it was. Not that, like, the memorabilia or whatever of Reagan and the plane were anything good, but... that's not the only positive thing about the debate is, oh, I like, you know, it was bright in the beginning, like with the lighting. That's it. Yeah.
It yeah. Bad. Even the moderation was garbage from what I saw, you know,
yeah,
like nobody even tried to stop the crosstalk that they were having. And it was just a nightmare. In fact, it reminded me of when we would do the podcast and like when somebody had drank too much booze.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good comparison, actually. I will say, I think, I don't know. I feel like some of the moderators tried to do it, but they just got drowned out in the voices. Plus, like, yeah, I mean, this was definitely the most chaotic. Like, even in the old debates with Trump in 2016, it was chaotic in the sense that Trump was unhinged. But, like, I mean, people shouted over each other, but it wasn't like this, where it was just like, you know, it's kind of a joke. And they're all polling at like 2-5%. Like, what gives you the right to like scream? Like, where no
one's they're all banking on the fact that they might get a cabinet position or alternatively that Trump will have to drop out because of all the indictments and stuff. So they might get second or whatever. So Ron DeSantis is probably right behind Trump, right?
I wouldn't say right behind. I think the last thing I saw.
Well, I mean, like in terms of like, not in terms of percentage, but in terms of.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a bit behind Trump, but yeah. And not in percentage, obviously. I think, I don't know how true it is. I don't know. Last poll I saw was like 2 weeks ago, but all these guys together apparently don't even like, even if they all coalesced all their numbers into one person, they still wouldn't reach Trump's number, which is just insane. I think,
what do you think is gonna happen with Vivek after this?
Man, if Trump becomes president, he'll for sure get a cabinet position. If he doesn't, I don't know. I mean, he'll be doing something. I don't think this is like the end of Vivek or anything. Whether that's like something social, like online, he seems like someone who'd be like an influencer, like a Shapiro type or Peterson type or something like that. Plus, like, there's still 2028, you know, in the scenario that Biden wins. I don't think Trump would run again. I mean, he'll probably be in jail by then, hopefully. But if not, I don't know if he would run again. So if not him, here's my guess for the next 4 or 5 years. These guys will return. Like, DeSantis and Vivek, I think, would return. But you know who would also come back? Fucking Don Jr. And he would crush that shit.
Oh, yeah.
He would garner all that Trump support just because he's the son of Trump and beat these guys again. It's like, yeah, these guys have no hope. As long as Trump and his family.
I have no doubt that he will try that, you know, because you can tell by the way, you know, when he like has media appearances and stuff that he's.
Yeah.
He's got everyone jokes that he looks coked up and stuff, and maybe, yeah, he does. But he definitely can talk to a camera, whether I don't think he's very good at it, but he's not afraid to do it. And I don't really, I mean, he's a scumbag himself, but he definitely can get up there.
The GOP event like a few years ago, I mean, him and his wife definitely looked like they were on something.
That was really, it was nightmarish.
Yeah. I'm, what's it called? I am worried about Trump coming back. I mean, I, like, years ago, I was worried. And then as these slight indictments or whatever have been happening, I've been less worried. But like the polls haven't been looking good for Biden. And I know it's like kind of early, it's a year away. But, you know, I mean, this it's like last time, but I think even worse, where there was a poll where Trump was at up 10 points, which is probably not accurate. But the average is around Trump is up right now, plus 1 or 2 points. This changes all the time. But like, I don't know, it's still worrying. And I think it's because like, there hasn't been, like the last month or two, too much news about Trump going on, like in his indictment stuff. It's just been kind of in the background. So it's like the it's like the same thing with Biden, where like if you're not in the news, your numbers start going up. That wasn't Trump before, but in the past with Trump, if no one talked about Trump, his numbers went down. But it's for some reason changed, where if nothing's going on with Trump, his numbers go up. So obviously when the election time comes up, that'll change. He'll be in the news. And I'm hoping that would have a negative effect, but yeah, I don't know. It's still bonkers that he still has a chance to come back even after everything that's happened so far. It's insane.
I think the reason for that is partially because like Trump's numbers going down and, you know, Biden's, or I mean, I don't know about Biden's numbers. I think they've been pretty stagnant and low. But I would assume that if Trump's numbers are going up and he's not being covered, it's because they're covering typically the failures of the Biden administration more often than not.
That's probably the case too.
But also, I don't know. Did you catch Biden on the picket line?
No, I didn't even know what they were talking about. I haven't been up to date.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like he was down there for the GM, I believe, you know, that conglomerate union.
Yeah.
And he was on the picket line and he's like, Wall Street didn't build America. Middle class did. Factory workers.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I mean, obviously, right. He's right. That's the thing with Biden. I mean, I don't like Biden, but he is like, on a technical level, I think one of the more progressive, I don't want to say progressive. He's been more progressive than the last like handful of presidents.
As much as I am also, you know, anti-Democrat and anti-Republican, like equally. He has done things like the, I was just seeing it in town 2 days ago or like earlier this week. There was like they're giving out, you know, grants to companies to develop infrastructure across the board. So yeah, I just saw that in town and it's probably across the board. So I mean, that's big, you know?
Yeah. I mean, infrastructure bill, the CHIP Act, and then like, he didn't like do, I mean, I know Trump was the one kind of initiating leaving Afghanistan, but Biden, you know, continued it. So that's still good. And obviously his attempts with the student loans or whatever. And even with like drilling, cause he approved like this one pipeline in Alaska, right? The one that everyone talked about. Mm-hmm. And then he denied another one, which was interesting.
Recently.
I think like a few weeks ago or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's not bad. I don't know. Like
he's making some moves for sure. And I can't say he's good cause he's still a US president and like an imperialist and,
By nature.
And like, as far as like, you know, the lack of pushing for peace in Ukraine, that I'm always going to be critical of that. But some of the moves domestically have been like forgivable and decent for sure.
Yeah. Plus, what's it called? I don't know how much this has to do with it, but I'd wager it's a good bit. And maybe, I mean, it's probably my bias showing, but like, I feel like Bernie Sanders has something to do with this because Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden are friends. Like they're actually like legitimately like semi friends. And, you know, Sanders gets a lot of, like shit on because he, especially the last few years, he's like, kind of given up. They say like, oh, he doesn't, not given up, but like he doesn't go after Democrats as much as he used to. And he always responds with, or at least I don't think he responds with, I think he alludes to like, if I'm nice to them, I can get inside their meetings or whatever and influence them. And he's done that before, like back in like during the Trump years or whatever. So he was able to do that. And I think his relationship with Biden might be a factor, because I mean, Biden, I think historically has been like not leftist, but like a few points left than like Obama or Clinton or whatever. So it's still, you know, right wing in general. But I'm just wondering how much, you know, Bernie has influence because of his relationship with Biden. And like he did campaign for Biden in 2020. He wasn't like vindictive or whatever. And people shout on him for that. But he, I don't know, he might be in the background doing stuff. He's not like someone who's loses. He's been arguing the same thing for like decades. So, I feel like, I mean, I always, the problem with Biden is like his age or whatever, but at this point, like both Trump and Biden are old, like the same people who say so much about Biden being old and it's cognitive dissonance, like Trump's like almost there to say, you know, he's almost the same thing. So, it's almost like a non-talking point to me anymore.
That doesn't touch a personal nerve or heed a social call. That knows no up or down. That has no right or wrong. That doesn't need a reason to waste some time with song, just like that old time. Rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll. And I'll sing ba 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 ba. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, to sing a song that doesn't let it all hang out. That doesn't wave any flag or have any slogan to shout. That knows no east or west. That has no left. That doesn't throw any stones or look for any fight, just like that old time rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll and I sing ba 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 ba. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Just to write a song that won't mend a broken heart. It won't woo you like a lover or promise a brand new start. That doesn't preach of rain and fire or heed any higher call. That doesn't need a reason to mean nothing at all. Just like that old time rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll and I sing bop 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 then. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Just like that old time rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll and I sing ba 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 ba. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Ba 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 ba. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Ba 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 ba. Whoa, whoa, whoa.